Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Amen and amen. Wasn't that a blessed word and song? Amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. He is the first and the last, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. Therefore, he is the beginning and the end. So he had the first word over us. He'll have the last word. Death won't have it. Sin won't have it. Satan won't have it. COVID won't have it. Our government won't have it. And let me tell you a little secret. You won't have it either. Amen. Who's going to have the last word over us? Jesus, 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 Jesus. And to him be the glory. Thank you, brother, for allowing us to fellowship with y'all this week. Stand here today. We did have a grand time with y'all this weekend. It was as much of a treat for Stephanie and I to be able to be part of what God is doing in Restoration Fellowship in the families and in the homes and within the grandchildren and the extended families that y'all touch and are part of every day of your life. It's just a miracle that I would have never in a million years, 30 years ago, would have ever anticipated I would be here today sharing with you what God has given me to share. That was so far off of the radar for us that I still stand amazed of what God did and how he used people in our journey, how he used the family to come and start reaching out to Stephanie and I that they could take our little girls to church and that they could bring them to Vacation Bible Schools and that they could take them to concerts. And Stephanie and I thought we were doing something big when we on that Navy base in Meridian dressed our little girls up, put clothes on them and put them out on the corner of the street so the base church bus would come by and pick them up and take them to the chapel service on there. And at that time, we were still perishing in our sins. We didn't know Jesus, but we knew it would be a good thing that our girls would be involved in those things. So families kept reaching out to us, inviting us to go to church with them. And we would go places. Stephanie frequented it even more than I did. She took the lead in that. And just through God's providence, God led her to a place called North Crest Baptist Church in Meridian, Mississippi. And she came in one day and I'm there in the service. I'm standing on the front gate welcoming people, checking IDs when they come through. And she rolled up after going to that church and she said, "Nick, I would love for you to go to church with me tonight. Would you go with me?" And I told her I would. And I want to tell you, from that particular time, from there on out, God began to do a work of drawing and working and bringing us to Jesus. And he interrupted our lives, invaded us with his grace, then began to deal with us about ministry and the work in the kingdom. And I want to tell you, when those mamas and daddies came and we pick our little girls up, I never foresaw. I don't think they foresaw in the vision they had. They were just missionaries doing what missionaries do. Reaching out to people, reaching out to families, trying to bring them in to get them to Jesus. But they had no idea that 27 years later, Nick and Stephanie Holden would be in Strasburg, Virginia at Restoration Fellowship telling our story of what God has done in our life. I want to tell you, don't quit going after those little boys and girls and those mamas and daddies out there. You never know who God's going to rescue and what God's going to do when he rescues them and where he's going to take them and how he's going to work in their lives. You never know. It is what we've been called to do as missionaries of God, to be disciple makers for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Once you take your copy of the revelation you brought and turn to the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 2, we're going to look at verses 11 through verse 14, 15. And we're going to look at an idea today, this morning, for just a brief amount of time. I wish I had all day with you, Brother Scott. I usually take 30 minutes in the introduction to get ready for the message. So this is a challenge for me. I'm like a bulldog wanting to get out the cage. You understand? So y'all work with me. We're going to walk through these verses out of Titus chapter number 2 and verse 11 through verse number 15. And I just want you, there was something that Brother Scott had mentioned about going into something, walking through something, and coming out of something. That is the work of God in the kingdom of God and His work of shaping and refining us with His grace. There's a great psalm, and I would encourage you to write it down somewhere. Of course, all the Word of God is the message of God. It's the Word. We can cling to it. But this Word is very clear on it. It says in Psalm 84, 10 and 11, it refers to God being a sun and a shield for us. A sun, a light, and a shield of His love for us. And He says in that passage that God will not withhold any good thing for them that walk uprightly with Him. Now, to walk uprightly, you have to live and walk by faith. You can be righteous. Righteousness is a complete and utter work of Jesus in our life. We that have been bought by His blood, washed through the life of Christ, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, made disciples of the Lord, are as righteous as you could ever be. You cannot be any more righteous today than you'll ever be, even in eternity. Because your righteousness is not based on your merits, it's on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can be no more righteous than God, because in Christ Jesus, we are the righteousness of God in Him. And that is worth shouting about. Amen. That great transfer that takes place when we entrust ourselves to Jesus, we are made righteous, declared legally righteous before the throne of God, because God gave us His best for our worst, our imperfections for His perfection. And when He sees us, He sees the Son. And you can't be any more righteous than that. But you must walk and live by faith to walk uprightly in that righteousness. So you can be righteous, but not walk uprightly. But when you walk uprightly, which is walking by faith, that is being led of God, because faith only comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So that is a report from God, news from God. How many of y'all watch the news? Anybody watch the news? Y'all messing with me in here. Y'all, I heard it under your breath. You do, but you don't like watching it, but you still watch it. Are you with me? What is news? News is a report. Now, everybody in this world is biased to what they know and what they believe. You're not going to get away from that. The Scripture says we're to guard our heart, for out of the heart proceeds all the issues of life. So we filter everything in life with our heart, with our mind, and what we know and believe in our mind is how we filter all that out. So you can put the same circumstances in front of 100 people and you're going to get different filters coming out of that based on the perceptions and how they perceive life. So the news media and everybody else, including you on the pew in here today, must filter everything by what you know within you. That's why we hide the Word of God where? In our heart. That's why we filter things through the message of God. That's why the Scripture says, take captive every thought unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Every thought you think, which is often messed up, like my thinking, just like the thinking of your neighbor, your wife, your news media, your preacher. What I tell you today, you have to take that captive and bring it into obedience. That is, measure it up to Jesus. Did He say that? Is this is what He teaches, and you got to do that with everything. That's how you filter stuff. Well, this world we live in, the news media are biased as well, but you still listen to them, and they still have an effect on you because you go on the job the next day and talk about it. Are you with me? Don't you? Why? Because you heard their news, their report, and then you talked about it. Well, faith cometh by a report, and that report comes from God. Or we can use it like this, because the word report means news. Faith cometh by the news, and that news is news that comes from God. And that's the news I want to live by. Amen? News from God. And to walk uprightly, you got to be receiving news from God from day to day. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 teaches us, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And what does God promise He'll do for us? He'll make the path clear. He'll guide us with His wisdom based on the news we're believing and then declaring and living in and walking by. So to walk uprightly, I am walking by the news that comes from God. And when I'm walking in that news, He tells me He would not withhold any good thing. Now, here's the rest of the story. Is that the good thing is often a hard thing. The good thing is often a difficult thing. The good thing is often a troublesome thing. Why? Because we have clarity in the New Testament that teaches us that God delivers us over the death daily. That the life of Christ can be what? Manifested out of our mortal flesh. If God wasn't bringing us in things, through things, and out of things, we would get it'd be very convenient and comfortable with life, and we'd make life about us. But God has a way of bringing us into trouble, to bring us through trouble, to bring us out of trouble, so that Jesus will what? Get manifested out of our life. Because when we're in trouble, what are we doing? We're drawing nigh unto God. We're calling on Him. You know what? We're dying to ourselves. We're humbling ourselves before the Lord. And God is, we're working with Him. He's working in us. He's working through us. And when that is happening, He's glorifying Himself out of our life. How many of y'all drink coffee in here? Raise your hand. We as believers are very similar to how a coffee bean is harvested and then processed, and then brought to our homes, placed in our coffee makers, and then poured into our cups. What you may not be familiar with, I'm not sure this or not, but I carry in my pocket a couple things. I carry little pacifiers in my pocket. I give these out every once in a while. If we have time, I'll share that with you. But I carry coffee beans in my pocket. They smell good, too. How many of y'all like the smell of coffee? Y'all know that when these coffee beans are harvested, they come off of what we call a coffee tree. And they have little cherries on that tree. And no coffee tree, the cherries never come in all at the same time. On any given coffee tree, you're going to have green cherries, yellow cherries, and red cherries. So in every place of the world that coffee grows, what they do is they walk through and they hand select, hand pick the red cherries off of that coffee tree. They bypass the yellow and bypass the green. And then in a couple days or tomorrow, the next day, as they mature, those yellow cherries turn red and those green ones turn yellow. And they keep going through and they handpick every single coffee cherry. Y'all think about how many people drink coffee around the world. And every coffee bean was handpicked by somebody in this world because no machine can go through and pick these. And when they grab those red cherries off of there, they then have a way, they open up the cherry, they take the pulp and all that is within it, and inside of that cherry there are two beans usually, and those beans, when they come off of it, how many of y'all know they don't come off of it brown like this? They come off together, two beans in there, and they face in one another, And brother, they're green when they come off of there. They're green coffee beans and they kind of have a earthy stench to them. They lay them out and they let them dry out. They let the pulp dry out. Then they collect these green beans and then they ship them out to various places around the world and they send them to roasters. And these roasters that take these beans, Brother Scott, and they'll put them in a roaster at a certain amount of temperature for a certain amount of time. And that's how we get our light roast, our medium roast, and our dark roast types of coffee. And what happens is these beans have sugars in them. Now, they tart if you tried to eat them. Have you ever tried to eat an acorn before? Anybody ever taste of acorn? An acorn's bitter, isn't it? It's got a bitterness to it. Same way with these. They're not the same way. So when they put them in that roaster and they get hot, the sugars start coming out of it and it starts coating around that bean. And that's how we get a dark, medium, or light roast coffee. But they're not done yet. Then they take these same beans and they throw that bean in a grinder. And they grind these beans up. And then they bag them up or they ship the beans out or the ground beans and they ship them to these stores or these places. And we go buy coffee. Down back home in Louisiana, Mississippi, we buy community coffee. Do they sell community up here? Boy, y'all missing out, let me tell you. It's good stuff. We drink that old good old community with chicory in it every day, and it's some good, strong, nice, good sipping coffee. But you know, that coffee then has to go through hot water. If you want that coffee, listen to me, to change the way that water tastes and the way that water smells. You know, we as believers, the scripture says in every place God brings us, everything He does with us, what is He doing? He's diffusing the aroma of Christ out of our life. You see, if we want to be the type of believers that are changing the way things smell and the things taste in this old world, because the scripture does say, taste and see that the Lord is what? You see, God immerses us in places and environments that are not good, that are not right, that need the aroma of Jesus. They need to see that Jesus is good and tastes good. So God has to put us through the roasters. God has to put us through the grinders. And God puts us through the hot waters of life. For what purpose? To change the way we smell and the way we taste in life. And I want to tell you, that's all part of the grace of God. Amen? It's all part of God's amazing grace. That God is at work teaching me how to deny myself, to say no to me, and to say yes to Jesus. So that He's bringing me in troubles. He's bringing me through the troubles. And He's bringing me out of the troubles, because not only is He transforming and changing me, but He's using me to have an effect on the environment, just like a room. Y'all know when coffee's brewing, right? Y'all know how it smells, right? It will permeate an atmosphere. And that's how it ought to be when we enter into a space, when we enter into a home, when we enter in on the job. We're not like everybody else. It's not that we better than everybody else. We just different from everybody else because who lives in us? Amen? Amen. Who lives in us? Have y'all ever noticed that when you go into a place, how many of y'all women like fresh flowers? Raise your hand. Why do you put fresh flowers in your home? It just refreshes things, doesn't it? It brightens things up. It's just refreshing. It's pretty things. You like it. It's refreshing. Have you ever noticed, though, when sour people walk in a room with fresh flowers, those flowers don't wilt, do they? Y'all notice that? They don't wilt. No. Why? As long as those fresh flowers are being well watered, they stand up and they shine, don't they? The same thing applies to us. So when God puts you around sour people, and God puts you in bad situations, and God puts you in dark situations, just remember you are the light of Jesus. That's why He puts light in dark places. That's why He puts you in places that smell like Jesus. So when people are upset on the job and people are causing trouble on the job, you don't have to wilt. You just be in a position where you're well watered and you're going to shine and you're going to be able to love that person even though they're being ugly. Amen? Why? Because God's put you through the furnaces. God's put you through the grinders of life. God's put you in some hot water. And He's changing how things taste and how things smell in this life that we live in. And you know what? We can't help but praise Him for that. Amen? And now if He's going to do that for you individually, He's going to do that for you, what, as a family, as a husband and wife. He's also going to do that with you as a congregation. This congregation, this work y'all do is not going to be trouble free. Amen. There's going to be difficulties in it. There's going to be challenges with it. Why? Because God's putting y'all as a fellowship through what? The furnace. He's putting you through the grinders of life. He's putting you through the hot waters so that y'all would be difference makers in this world that you live in. But it won't. It's all. Remember, we are saved by grace. We are secure in grace. We're sanctified by grace. We're sustained by grace. And grace is always, always, always. Remember this. It's always the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read briefly. I know we're going to run out of time this morning, but I just felt compelled to share these things with you. Look what he says in verse number 11. He says, Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings, that ushers in this long-term proclaimed and prophesied salvation, it has been manifested. It has appeared to all men, all kinds of men, Jew and Gentile, everybody. It's been made available to, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we as those saved by this grace should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And it was Him, Jesus. This is the grace that appeared. This is the personification of it. "That Jesus gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, purchase us, deliver us from every lawless deed or iniquity, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." The personification of grace. It's a person. And that person, Jesus, the work of God, has an agenda, and this is the agenda of God's grace and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. This agenda is teaching us, instructing us. It is a family word, like a father who instructs his children as a way of life, in life, as they do life, constantly teaching them the right way or the wrong way of doing things and the right way of doing things. Our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is teaching us, teaching me to say no to me in this world and to say yes to Jesus. To say no to living without Him, doing things without Him, walking in this world without His news, walking in this life without hearing from Him each and every day. If I'm going to be fresh flowers that bloom and blossom and are vibrant and not affected by who's the environment around me, I've got to be well watered by Him. I know, as the Scripture says, that in Isaiah 12:3, it says, "In the day of grace," in this day, talking about the day of grace, "we as the believer shall draw water out of the wells of salvation." Plural wells. Why? You that belong to Jesus are a well of God. I am a well, and there should be wells of living water coming out of us that we can drop each other's bucket in and pull out living water that keeps us vibrant and fresh and being those difference makers wherever the Lord sends us in our given day. that I don't have to be governed by what's going on in America right now or what's going on around the world. And y'all know God's concerned with more than America. Amen. Y'all know God's concerned with more than restoration or Nick Holden and Stephanie Holden. He's got a big old world out there he's working in, and he's sending people all over the world doing a mighty work in many different places. The question would be, what is he doing in me? What is he doing with me? What is he doing through me to bring glory unto himself? Well, I want to be watered so that I thrive in this journey of walking with him. And I want to tell you, it only comes through being intimately connected to Jesus. To Jesus. It's not sets of plans and sets of principles and all these things. You got to go back to the fact that it's a personal, intimate walk and relationship with Jesus. Jesus said we can do nothing in this world apart from what? Abiding in him. And to abide in him means to be connected to him. So therefore, to be connected to him, it's impossible to remain connected to him without living by faith, because it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And that which is not faith is what? Missing the mark with God. So I got to live by God's news. And when I do, I'm staying connected to Jesus. And as a branch of his, he's what? Flowing in and through my life. I'm not the one producing the fruit. All the branch does is hold the fruit up. All the branch does is lift the fruit up. It's the vine that produces the fruit through the branch. The branch is just required to stay connected to the vine, and the vine works its fruit through that so that other people can enjoy the consumable fruit of a living God through our lives. And what a miracle, amen? That he would even use you and me and us to be part of that kind of work. But I want to tell you, for that to happen in our life, we got to go through some troubles in our life. Amen. Got to go through some things in your life. That's like what Romans chapter 5 says, that we have access to this grace by faith. We have access to the Lord. He is our hope of glory. And it says, we know, you got to know this. This is a revelation you got to know, that trouble, tribulation, affliction is working something in us. What is it working? Patience. What is patience working? Character. And what is character working? A hope that never, ever disappoints. You know what that says? To get to that place where we operate in hope, an expectation of confident hope in the Lord, God has to put you through the furnace. Amen. The troubles and the afflictions. He's got to bring you through the fires. He's got to bring you in and out of the hot waters. He's got to put you in the grinder so that we see less of you and less of me and more of him. Amen. That's the agenda of grace. Grace is a school that God is always teaching us in. And that I can tell in my own life, I can tell in my spouse's wife, I can tell in my kids' life, I can tell in my church members' life when they have dropped out of class. When they've dropped out of class. You know, Galatians 5, 4 and 5 says this, that when you try to do things on your own, he says, you've fallen from grace. Well, you know we got a God that does things that are you can't undo when he does them. If you've been born again, that's irreversible. You're forever his. So what does that mean? It means that as Titus 2:11 teaches us, that God always has an agenda and he has a school of teaching us. But sometimes Nick don't show up for class. And when Nick don't show up for class in school, it is going to manifest in my journey, because I'm going to make things more about Nick than I am about Jesus. And when people don't treat me the way I think they ought to treat me, I'm going to lash out at them. That's evidence that I've missed class that day. Are you with me? And I say that to say this, that God's school of grace never takes a break. There are no holidays. There are no summer breaks. There are no winter breaks in God's school. It is something that he is teaching us day in and day out. Day in and day out. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle thing to say no to me and yes to him. And also, just a little tip before we go, is this. is that y'all remember when you was in school and you missed class? Did your teacher still hold you accountable for the information they put out that you could have heard that you didn't hear, but you still were going to be testing on it? Did they hold you accountable? All right, now we're going to make it personal. And this school of grace and this agenda that we see here saying no to me, teaching me how to live, teaching me how to love in life, teaching me how to look for Jesus in everyday life, how to look for him. When that agenda is not at work in my life, though it could be and should be, do you think God still holds me accountable for what I could have heard, should have heard, but because Nick decided to skip class and go do Nick's thing and not God's thing? Is he still going to hold me accountable for the information I could have heard that I didn't hear because I was doing my thing? He sure will. Brother Scott, I know everybody can't always be here with y'all. And if this is the only time you depend on hearing from God, you need a wake-up call, because you ain't going to make it. In the sense that you're not going to thrive. The reason that being is that what your pastor, what I'm feeding you today, I've been chewing on this. And this is like milk that I've chewed on, reprocessed, and I'm giving it to you. That can't sustain you. Amen. You need meat and strong meat. That means you got to be seeking and hearing news from God on a regular basis. And I understand people can't always gather for everything that y'all do here. But I'm usually really concerned when people have no concern what happened here when they wasn't here. That's what burdens me more than anything. That they could easily just stay out of class for a while and not be concerned about it. I would then have to go back and say, Lord, do something in my heart. That I can walk in your school every day of my life. That I could hear from you and the news you have. So that when I've got to face those furnaces and those fires and those troubles and those trials, I know you've given me power to deal with those problems in life. You've given me answers, solutions to deal with them. And Lord, I know you've given me your love to compel me to lay my life down so that I can love people the way you love people. I don't always do that. Do you always do that? We don't always do that, right? But you know what? Aren't you glad for grace, repentance? That godly sorrow works in your heart, picks you back up, puts you right back on. Has anybody ever ruffled your feathers and you stood your ground and you fought against them? And you defended your answers and your pride at the cost that you had to be right rather than ensuring that the right thing was done? Y'all ever do that? Defend your pride and not the promises of God? Well, you got to recognize that's not Jesus. Amen. You know who that is? That's old Nick at work. And the grace of God and the school of God with the agenda of God's grace in Christ is always telling Nick the what? Settle down. Look, let Jesus live this out in your life. Amen. Let him live this out in your life. I was not always a great student. Not that I was trouble for my teachers. But I didn't think I could learn very well, so I didn't really even apply myself very well. And my interest when I went through school, I mentioned earlier that an earlier group that I was a ball player and played ball. I pitched and I was a punter and quarterbacked and played defensive back. And I mentioned to them on slippery days like today, you got to learn how to take short steps so your feet don't get out from under you. But I wasn't a very bright student. I actually went to more remedial type classes and things like that. And one of it was a stigma in my mind that I just didn't think I could learn well. So I didn't really apply myself. Didn't give my teachers no trouble, but I wasn't one knocking on my teacher's door saying, can you help me with this? There would be other students who really wanted to learn, and boy, them teachers would pour themselves into them. Me, I just wanted to date that pretty girl right there and give me a ball. I was like an old dog with a ball. It's all I wanted to do. I wasn't big on the idea of school. And you know, the scriptures tell us that when you enter into troubles and problems in life, the things I know today are a lot different than I knew then. God says if you have troubles in life, problems come, count it all joy. Why do you count it all joy? Not because of the trouble, but because of what God's going to do in the trouble with you and through you. Amen? And he said, if you have trouble with the problem, go to God, and God's got wisdom for you to deal with the problems in life. Now, to go to him, he says, you got to believe that he what? If you don't believe him, if you don't trust he has solutions and answers, he says, you're like a man that is tossed to and fro like the water. You easily manipulate it by the circumstances. You can't expect anything from God. To come to God, you got to believe he is God. And that means you're not. That means you don't have the solutions, but he does. So you come in faith, believing he'll give you the answers to the problems that you have to face in life. And I want to tell you, that's the way that we live every day in the kingdom of God. Just come in the Lord with the troubles that you're facing. Come into him. Because you're going to face them. You're going to go through them. They're designed by God to get Jesus out of you. So if you don't have answers for them, who do you go to? The one who's going to give you news on how to live this life. And believe he's got the solutions. Trust him in them. And just keep walking with him. And you know what? He's just going to lead you into something more difficult down the road. So just keep walking with him. Amen? Why? He's going to use you in his school of grace to change how things smell and how things taste in this world that you live in. Amen? Amen. Brother Scott's going to come. Father, we thank you. I pray that you use this in my life and my wife's life and our lives. And that you transform, Lord, the hearts of your people to understand what you're doing in this work of grace in their life. And we're going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.